Ben, welcome to the Ski Racing Podcast with me, Ed Drake. Ben is back, and so is Marcel. Thankfully, recovered from an intoxicating weekend over at Cheltenham Festival. Marcel, welcome back. Plenty of ski racing to sink our teeth into. World Cup finals are in full swing in a very, very warm Saalbach Hinterglemm. The men's and women's tech events have been wrapped up. We had men's GS on Saturday, women's slalom. Loic Maillard picked up the victory in front of Yon Verdu, who managed to get back into the finish area, or back onto the start list after missing a few races with his injuries into second. And then Tumler finally on a podium. Great to see him producing the goods. And on the women's side, Shiffrin gets number 97, ever closing in on that 100 World Cup victories record. Mina Furst-Holtmann, great result for her, from eighth into second. And Anna Sven Larsen, unfortunately, couldn't convert her first run lead to victory. But plenty of good racing. The salt was in high demand, wasn't it, across the board? Ben, my friend, how did you think the weekend went?
I was absolutely gutted that we didn't get to see the Maillard-Odomat clash finish properly. Obviously, Odomat crashing out. We talked last week about the possibility of 10 out of 10 and clean sweep for the season. And everything was in place for a proper toe-to-toe. Maillard skied absolutely incredibly again. And I was excited to see it. And Odomat had a couple wobbles. And then when he finally did ski out, it's probably been coming for about three races now, but I was just absolutely gutted that you didn't get to see a full run and see if Maillard could actually beat him.
Yeah, see his name on the finish list, but not in first. Yeah, he was leading by 0.4. It was so, I was like you, Ben. I was on comms, just I was gutted that we were sort of, yes, the run had to come to an end. I really thought he was going to get it, especially after having that extra week off, in terms of being able to get energy levels really back up to pretty much as high as they could be. But then to see that him come out, I mean, you're right, he'd been flirting with it for such a long time. A shame that he couldn't convert. Marcel, mate, did you I mean, obviously you were glued to the ski racing when you weren't at Cheltenham.
I certainly was. I gotta say, like, Maillard would have deserved it more in the last couple of races in America to win. Actually, I don't think he skied that well in the second run. Odomat would have annihilated him, I think, again. Unfortunately, up until that point, he was so much quicker than him. He really was. And you know, Loic Maillard lost a lot of time, but it doesn't matter in the end. I think Odomat is probably going to be quite happy about this. He's just like, everyone's talking about, you know, winning 10 races in a row, blah blah blah. I think he just wants to like get it over and done with, have a DNF, and then keep going. And I think, you know, for him, that might be good for the next two races as well, like if they're happening, obviously, to just not to worry about any of those, you know, winnings in a row and blah, blah, blah. I think he's got to be happy about it.
Pretty much. I think just the pressure of, you know, constant questions. I mean, do you think that would be the same for Shiffrin once she gets the 100? You know, that the 100 barrier is broken and gives her a chance to sort of shut all that chat up.
I think so. I mean, you know, like, okay, well, it's a different ballgame if you have like almost 100. Like, I mean, that is never going to be reached again. Like, there's just no way that's going to be reached, I don't think. I think she will be very delighted, and it will take her about three races into the next year, I would assume. So,
next three slaloms would be a good guess. So that talk with Odomat and the 10 wins or the clean sweep or whatever it was, I did a little bit of digging around of recent World Cup history to see how close other people have got, and the best I could find was Shiffrin slalom in 2019, which was a 12 race calendar where she won every race except for a Flakow slalom, where she was 1500ths off over in second place. So that's the other kind of near closest one we've had. Yeah. And I think Hersha had one season where he had 1 second and 1 third in an 11 race season. So all three of them are in very rarefied air in terms of the amount of races they've been able to win consistently in across the whole season. And especially with the schedule, you think all three of them have raced in their careers. They've never been single discipline skiers. They've all skied three out of the four, if not all four. So it's been pretty impressive. Really happy to see Verdu back on the snow.
Yeah.
Obviously started the season with a bang and finished it with a bang, and
He looked pretty quick as well
hopefully
in sections, didn't he?
he always does. He always looks absolutely lightning when he gets it right. It's just a case of, how much pain is he in, and can he keep it together? It seemed obviously that first race of the season is never particularly soft snow, so he shows his multiple conditions he can do it in, which is handy, because I think a lot of people really dislike the snow we've had the last certainly the last kind of month or so in Europe, with it being so kind of soft and slushy. You see a lot more people going down inside, where they're just inside foot just gives way under them. So yeah, it makes a really interesting race, and to understand the adaptations people have got to make to their normal style.
Good day for the Austrians. Marcel Brennsteiner got close to being on the podium, 11th through to fourth. Good showing from him. Just what do you make about the Austrians? And also in another newish name, Tommy Tümmler, or new to the podium, Tommy Tümmler, finally getting himself onto a podium.
We talked about it on his America tour, where he had like very good results already, and even before I think in Banske he got fourth as well, right? I mean, it's well deserved. He's how old is he? 34? Is that his first podium, I think?
Yeah, I think it's his first podium, yeah.
So that's pretty amazing. He had a fantastic season, and he actually didn't start off very well, but he's a great skier. I think he has a lovely technique. Very, very, very much deserved that. Brennsteiner had a good run as well. He quite likes, I think, those conditions. He's had a couple of good results in Kranjska Gora as well, where it's usually also a bit slushy. So good for him. Good finish off to the season. He has had a rough one through like quite a few of the races.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be happy to have him in. I think he's in top 15 now again, which is always very important. It gives you obviously sponsorship, more sponsorship, better contracts, and also a good starting position for next year. So that's a very positive. I think Fella was pretty good as well, wasn't
Yeah, I mean, Fella, he put down his his ability in GS due to the fact that he's just not doing any training. That's what he said in one of his interviews. But yeah, no, he did do well. It's one of those where he's had the luxury this weekend of going through and just being able to just chill out and enjoy his ski racing. So Fella just puts all of that pressure on the gate. It's not great sort of style, is it, for those type the snow in terms of that snow condition. But again, right by the seat of his pants, put in another good run. But just it was all in all good racing. There's so much stuff to talk about, which is sometimes difficult at World Cup finals because there's very little to play for in reality. If the globes are already wrapped up, or if you're, more than a few points away from the next guy in front of you, it's sort of a bit of a swan song, right? It's nothing to win, nothing to lose. If I'm not right at the front, then I'm just sort of skiing. So it was one of those where it can be a bit of a damp squib when you end up finishing the season at World Cup finals and it all sort of goes out, and it's not that interesting racing. But Ben, I thought it was, but on both sides, men and women and all disciplines over the whole weekend, I thought it was fantastic.
It is, and it's also a bit tough as a spectator when you're used to kind of settling in for the morning and watching, bibs 30 through 50 put down some runs and see if they can do something special on the day. Whereas this is, you get to the end of the top 20 and like, okay, first run over, let's go. So occasionally you've got a world junior champ to see what they've got moving forwards, and it does make the racing go quicker. But obviously, normally we spend a lot of time talking about people who've put in those epic runs from further back in the field. Although while we're still on the men's GS, I thought you would have had a tremendous appreciation for the Stina Olsson rampage
Yeah, loved it.
after the second round, after all
Loved
the
it.
abuse you used to give Kristoffersen. I wanted to get your take on that ski pole demolition that went on around the back of all the tents. At least he tried to get out of the way of the cameras and do it.
Yeah,
It's
but
just, unfortunately, there are cameras everywhere.
he did try to break his pole I don't think it was here. I think it was in America where he messed up the second one of the times he messed
He
up the
did the old
second
try and bend it
he
over the
tried to
leg
do he
one.
tried to snap it as he left the finish area, but didn't, like, unfortunately, unless he did out of camera shot, but on camera he didn't have the strength to snap his pole even though he was trying. Yeah, reinforced poles, you see. But yeah, no, it was, I don't know, it's the end of the season. I was like, I thought it was quite funny. I do actually think he's got a difficult summer ahead of him, but probably one of the races that really does need the break. I think he needs to get away from the World Cup. He needs to get the pressure off of him because his speed is really, really good, but his ability to deal with, well, positional pressure in terms of leading runs and right at the sharp end to not getting it done, and then the added pressure, which I feel like he's now got as being known as somebody that feels the pressure on second runs and can't convert. So he's got double pressure to try and get over now, not yet, as he's getting a bit of a reputation for not being able to sort of get it done. Marcel, what did you make of him, and what would you say to him if you were his coaches?
I think just give him a break. I mean, he's 20 years old, he's always or he was mostly somewhere around top five, top three leading races. I mean, he couldn't bring it down, but I think just whatever, just give him a break. And I actually thought that was a bit of a shame that they showed that, happens. We've all done it, at
It's
least I
TV
have.
though. You can't, this you're naive to think that there's cameras not around, whether it's, again,
No, but
social media or TV cameras.
I get it. Everyone is obviously looking for something spectacular, but just give him a break. It's obviously not good, and it's not, good for kids to see that. They shouldn't be doing it. But in the end, there's a lot of emotion in play. He's had a couple of really tough races. I actually just think, he will be going back, doing his training. He seems quite level-headed. So I don't think I think it's not going to affect him next year.
He seemed very happy for, we'll move on to it later, but he was very obviously able to get very pumped for his teammate when Haugen picked up his win. The only thing that I would say is maybe the pressure he's putting on himself, because he's actually only a year younger than Bratton and McGrath. And I think sometimes we forget that actually, he's not like 18, even though he, maybe
He looks like 12.
stature wise, yeah, he's not quite as filled out, shall we say, trying to tread lightly. But I sometimes think that, he's seen Bratton last year win a Crystal Globe and he's still not been able to find, even though he's got the speed. So I wonder whether he's also putting pressure on himself because he feels like, the path has been trodden before by his teammates. And he again did burst onto the scene with such big results. I wonder whether that's something that's adding to his woes, maybe. Anything to add on the GS, gents?
Yeah, that was a worthy last race, I think.
Yeah, especially with those conditions. I mean, it's not great, is it? And when it's.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what the World Championships will look like. That will be icy because there's barely any sun on that hill,
Yeah, it's Wicked Hill.
Yeah, it's a good hill. It's never super steep, but it's a lot of rollers. You have to work a lot. It's quite
Speed's
long as
quite high.
well. Beats high. So I think it's a good hill for the World Championships.
I mean, it's abnormally, I mean, again, abnormally warm, even at this point, at this time of year. So I think just a little bit unlucky. We'll come on to more about the snow conditions, I think, on the second day, because I think they were even more difficult on day two. But the women's slalom, that was a great old race. Sven Larsson, yeah, couldn't quite get it done. Holtmann, she was, a classic, again, stereotypical Norwegian in terms of, it gets warm, they put salt on, and all of a sudden you think the Norwegians basically think that they own the show. But I think both days we saw outsiders from the Norwegian team getting onto podium. So maybe there is more to it than just anecdotal. Nea Dvornik came really close for Slovenia, going from 21st into fourth positions. That was cool to see. She missed the podium by, what's that, 400ths. And Shiffrin,
She's
second
done
after the first run, she just did what Shiffrin does, didn't she? She skied quick under little pressure, really, with how that they've played her comeback, and good for her making it 97, managing to keep her cool. Who wants to go first on that one?
I'll go first on that one. I thought it was a good race. Obviously, like I said, probably the Schifrin side of it a little bit predictable, but obviously good to see her back another, race under the belt after that injury, and yeah, seemingly another textbook Schifrin win. But there were wobbles on her. She had a massive advantage after the first run, and they're just used. You saw a couple little sections where she dropped a few tenths, and then in true Schifrin fashion, that last split was just, ripped anyone's heart out that thought they had a chance of beating her on the day. So in true Schifrin style, just let people think they've got a chance and then laugh and accelerate through the bottom section. Just when everyone else is losing time, she just accelerated there. But I thought it was good. Like you said, the conditions are tough, and that's probably one of the plus sides of having those smaller fields, because if we'd been watching 50 people try and ski those slaloms with the conditions that soft, it could have been a bit of a disaster, is probably the wrong word, but just really difficult race for those people. So it was good to see solid performances all around. Like you said, the likes of Mina First Holtman, really, really good for her to kind of have that, I guess, big moment and big second run to really show, what she's capable of, and hopefully that's something we can see more of in the coming years. Because like she's been on the fringes for a while. She's like a solid racer across multiple disciplines. It's just a case of okay, when and where is the step up going to come from? And I think we've seen hopefully the first part of that now, and then she can go away and hopefully next year put some more results in like that.
Marcel?
Yeah, that is a very good summary, I have to say. No, it was a good.
Do you think?
But it's I don't think we would have wanted to see like 50 people going down that mountain that day. I don't think that would have been very nice. But in general, there's some other good results, not just Vornik. I mean, Kati Huber, pretty good fifth. I think Ellie Neulmeyer had a great season, a couple of really good results in there. And what I'm a big fan actually of Zenifera German, I think that's her. I mean, she's had an outstanding season. I think she's even in the top 15 now, coming from basically nowhere. And we've talked that, like people are, they getting in there with really high whips. Okay, she's not in top 15, but she's 19th, coming from, 25th points in the beginning of the season, which is incredible. And it's great to see like some other nations in there. She's a great skier. I think she's part of a great project. I don't know what is it called again?
The Apex 2100.
Apex 2100. I think they're doing a great job clearly with her. So that I think that's very encouraging. And then I love Lara Kulturi as well. I think she had a bit of a rough slalom, but it's good to see some people that are younger coming in there. If you look at the start list at the years they're born, like Germani is 2003, Kulturi 2006, and then you have Pongo Chiara 2002, and then obviously Zrinka Lucic, but the rest is all, they're not getting younger, so it's good to see
Yeah, some fresh races, fresh faces getting in there. Yeah, I mean, Jermaine's been amazing. Like, what a season she's had.
How long is she going to go for? Who knows?
Schifrin, you say, sorry.
Yeah, she just turned 29, didn't she?
Yeah.
It's no age, but I don't think, if you won 100 races at like 30, you'd probably be like, ah, I think I'm done.
We were talking about it, Ben, weren't we, last week? And I said, I wonder if she wants, got a little bit of Olympics to do again after the last one. So that was what I was
That's probably,
purely spitballing. But
yeah,
what do you reckon?
probably her motivation, because in America, Olympic Games count more than anything else, and not much rather than any globes and stuff. I think if you want to get like exposure, if you want to get like big sponsorships and stuff, you gotta win a gold medal at the Olympics, which she has already. But I think after that one, I will be very surprised if she keeps going after the
Yeah,
next.
I kind of, yeah, I almost, I, it must, unless it would not be after, surely. It would be either then or before. I can't see her going. Just keep her going.
And so he thinks she's not got big enough sponsors yet.
Not
She's struggling for
made enough
sponsorship
money.
money.
No, I know. But when we talk about motivation, I think, that is the motivation for American racers. Like, the Olympic Games in general. Of course, she has enough sponsorship. She doesn't need it. But I think for her recognition, if it could get any higher, it would be probably winning multiple at the Olympics.
I think your I think your take on that is pretty accurate in terms of the goals for, especially in North America with World Cups versus Olympic Games, and the fact that she's her, what do we say, Ben? She's got what, three Olympic goals in her career, I think it is, or even maybe two. As you're scrabbling around. Yeah, so I wonder whether she's just got a little bit of unfinished business with the Olympic Games and may just, tick off this 100 in round three of 2025 season. Two Olympic golds, thanks, Ben. Round three, get the 100 chalked up and then have a nap until Cortina 2026. So, but the racing, more importantly than the racing, is the race for the ski racing podcast Crystal Goblet, and it is hotting up at the top. Ryan Ballantyne leads the way by a single point going into the last round in front of Jesse Hansen. They are 185 and 184. Tom Hiscott with a late charge, 181, so 4 points off. And then Jamie Aldridge with an outside shot at making it three times the champ at 178. So with, what have we got? 20 points? 5, 10, 20 points left on the table. Oh, it's going down to the wire. Ben, you're leading R1 as well, but yeah. What were you saying, Marcel?
Where's my mom?
Your mum is in joint six with Ben's other half. So they are tied at the moment on 169.
God damn it, that's pretty good actually.
I thought I just said to your mum and is it your mum and your nephew or mum and your cousin?
My mom and my cousin. You should have had them on a podcast instead of me, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Actually, I said last week, Marcel, you missed it. They should have their points halved because there's two of them, so it's cheating. So they should get half the amount of points, and they'd probably still be above us in the league.
They would. They would. So yeah, the most important part of the ski racing for 2024 winter is very tight at the top, a single point. The Crystal Globe going down to the last weekend. It's exactly down to the last race. It's exactly what we wanted to see.
Down to the wire.
To spice it up, should we just pick on behalf of the current top three this week, and then ruin their brilliant seasons?
Sorry. We just draw their last pick, the last race, out of a hat. There's far more Charlie Raposos in there than anybody else.
Was gonna say, just let us pick them, and it's basically as bad as picking out of a hat.
Onto the second race day of the weekend. The men were in slalom action. Women were over in GS. And on the slalom side, Timon Haugen, what a season he's had, and caps it off with a victory. Look very, very impressive as well. Did it the hard way from leading after the first run with an extra long hold. It felt like on the last person to push out of the gate on the second run. Feller with a great second run in second place, went from fourth to second. Strasser dropped from second to third. Loic Maillard could only manage fourth. And then a really interesting, certainly for the Brits side of things, was the battle for seventh in the standings between Dave Riding and Daniel Yule. They were separated by 16 points at the start, and Dave ended up finishing in 15th, getting those 16 points. And in the World Cup finals, you only get points to 15th. So Daniel Yule didn't get any points, and they ended up tied, which means that in the st season standings, Dave goes eighth because they do a count back. And as Daniel Yule won the World Cup, he is in seventh. But on World Cup start list, so what decides the start list for next season, they are tied in seventh, which means the first slalom will have the first draw will be 1 to 8 instead of normally 1 to 7 because there's a tie. So interestingly, if Dave decides to carry on, he could very well have bib number one. And there's rumours that they're looking to try and put Levy back in the calendar for the men's slalom side as well, which would be pretty cool and pretty, I think, pretty interesting for Dave in his conundrum of whether to hang up the boots or not.
It's
On
not a
the
conundrum.
women's,
Just do it. It's not even a conundrum. Just keep skiing, Dave.
I know, that's what
I
I
read
said
the
to
BBC article that said you'd ski until your legs couldn't do it anymore. And I think yesterday was an example. Your legs do still do it.
Yeah,
So,
so should we send him a go screenshot that article for me? I'm going to send it to
yeah.
him. I'll send it to him right now. Go on, get that article up and screenshot
Okay.
it to me. And if we can
Might
get
let
a
Marcel
reply,
talk for a bit while I get out.
get a reply, then we'll, yeah, Marcel doesn't do too much talking, so it's pointless. You'd be like, I agree, and then we'll be back to you.
Give my expert opinion, which is basically useless. That's what I'm doing.
That is useless. The thing that I was wanting to talk before we talk about the results for the slalom, we'll go on to the women's GS separately in a minute. The first run of was very much pretty much bib order in terms of how it finished the first run. And with those types of snow condition, it deteriorates really quickly from the first couple of races. And then it starts to plateau from maybe bib five through to sort of 15, you know, plateau. So it drops off a cliff. It nosedives really quickly between one and call it four or five, and then plateaus. I think that Fizz in those conditions should be sending multiple forerunners to try and get over the fact that to just not drop off this cliff, to try and make it a little bit even. So, because if you looked at that GS, as take GS as the example, Maillard went one and Odomat went two. Now, if Odomat had gone seven, I don't think Odomat would have led the first run. And Odomat skied the bet, you know, skis better than anybody else. So, what do you guys think? Do you think that's a valid point, or do you think, you know, you get lucky or you don't in terms of your bib number? Marcel, what do you think, mate?
I think you're just making it up as you go along, mate.
Well, that's what I do, and that's what I normally do. And that's what I've done the whole time. So.
No, I think I actually don't. I don't know, because with the forerunners, like, they're obviously younger racers, you know. I don't think it would make much of a difference. Also, what they should be doing, that if you want to go down that route, they shouldn't be slipping before the race starts. You know, they just let this, because usually there is like another, I don't know, 5 minutes between when they are going down, the forerunners, and when the race actually starts. So if you want to go that way, I think don't let anyone slip down. I don't think you need more forerunners. You just need to keep it as it is. I think that could help. But you know, in general, I think it's a thing that you go first once, and then you might be going seventh. So I think it's evening out anyway for most of those guys, because they're usually starting in the first group. So don't think there's much of a difference. There is
But
obviously a difference.
there is
There
much of a difference.
is much of a diff there is a difference, but I don't think over a whole season it makes much of a difference really. But you know, I actually wouldn't even say that Audemars couldn't be close to leading the race, to be honest. But the only thing is, you can't ski a line, right? On those conditions, you
Yeah,
gotta.
but well, my point with the Odomat thing for the example was he beat Maillard by 0.4 going down bib number two. I genuinely believe if Odomat had gone bib seven in those conditions, he could not have beaten Maillard by 0.4 of a second with Maillard going bib one.
Yeah, but could have, should have, would have. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I
Like,
know, but you could negate some of the cliff drop, because it does drop off like a cliff off bib one to bib four or three. No, do you not, or do you see what I'm saying, or not? Or you don't see it at all.
but this is the thing, right? So you say, what are you going to do when it's super icy and you don't want to have bib number one because it's really shiny on top and you don't have any grip? Like, what are you going to do then?
Yeah.
So this is what I'm saying, right? It always evens out somewhat. Like, Kristoffersen probably had bib number one on the icy conditions and bib number seven, so he's obviously pissed off at that.
Yeah,
But
but also then you would, you know, when Daniel Yule won from going down first in Chamonix, right? If you'd said, right, well, we're going to send six forerunners in Chamonix before the sec start the second run, do you not make it more even by making it more bumpy for the first person? I understand that ski racing, that isn't ski racing, but my point is that you could actually make it less about the conditions and more about the skiing by just adding a few people to push out the start gate.
I don't know if that would do it. I honestly don't know if that would do anything. I really don't know. I don't. I personally don't think you would. I think you don't need more forerunners. I think you need less slipping crews in between if you wanna go down that route. But then on the other hand, like, you know what, it was quite exciting when Yol got from 30th to first. Obviously, it's not fair, but it was lucky when he did it. But then you still have to do it. So I think, you
Yeah,
know,
yeah,
kind of like you are
yeah.
on ski racing, you know, on a 100 meter track, you know, it's a 100 meter track. Obviously, I understand there are some differences, but not as much of a difference as there is with skiing. And I think that's quite nice about it, that there is that difference and it gives some excitement. You know, we have the best races is when like someone in the second round, you know, comes from nowhere and has a real like flyer and climbs all the way up. That's, I think, part of the excitement. And I think it would be a real shame to take that away for ski racing.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And on the second runs, I'd say 9 times out of 10 on the second run, the snow conditions add jeopardy. And you look at the slalom on Sunday, you look at or the slalom on Saturday for the women. I think you look at all four of the races that we saw this weekend from the men's and the women's sides. I think you're right. You know, the second runs were great, and I think add the jeopardy with the snow conditions. I don't want to be watching or commentating on a race where it's almost done. It's almost decided how good you're going to do based on what bib number you've got. And I think that's, and I personally think that's boring, but I understand that it's ski racing and sometimes it swings in roundabouts and sometimes you get lucky and sometimes you don't.
But also think about that, like in the first round, okay, you say that there's a huge cliff drop from like 3 or something to 7 or to 15, but you can't forget that the top 7 are like better than the rest. Like, you know, they're
They've earned
better
it. They've
than
earned it.
8 to 15, right? So they are better. It's they have earned it on one hand, but they're also better because they're quicker. So that's usually, you know, you have a bit of the slope, but you also have a bit of the people
I think
just being.
you'd st my my you I think you still have that. I think you'd still have that. You and they're still better than anybody else. You're just stopping the perfect conditions that you get going bib one on a warm day, with a lovely. Lovely, grippy, salty top layer that is disappearing within two races. You know that it's going on a slalom. You know that you're pushing out the gate, going bib one or bib two. No one's going to get close to you if you have a good run
Yeah, I
in
mean,
those conditions.
you are right. Like, obviously you're right, but I don't know what, you
I
know.
know, but I appreciate that you're right. Again, you're right in terms of the icy stuff, like what do you do when it's glassy? And you go, actually, it's a little bit quicker once you've got a few races scratched some texture into the top of the ice. I totally get that. And I hadn't thought about it from that side of things. But Ben, what do you think, mate? What's your take on that?
About to throw a grenade in the middle of you two and then just be like, what about in World Cup finals? Just do first run, reverse everyone. And then second run reverse bib order just to really mess with everyone's brain.
Just do it like they do, like the picks of who's going to play who in the next round of football.
Yeah, but just if we honestly think it makes that much difference, and it's it, we think those top seven are that much better, if there's only 20 odd people in the race, let the world junior champ go first and go down from there. You know, it's been a season's worth of the people that have scraped into that, you know, that kind of 24, 25 category. They've had to probably start most of the season out the back and grind their way in. Last race of the season, they get a nice start, and the people who've proved themselves to be the best have to earn it for a change. But in a fairly easy, you know, there's only 20 people going down type race.
Yeah, I quite like that. I could get on board with that one too. Marcel's
Yeah,
no. He's
you know.
very Austrian about this. This is the
No.
pace that we do it.
No,
I
seriously.
mean,
You know, if they decide to do that, I think it's fun to see. But coming from like a racist perspective, obviously you work, you know, your way up. You work really hard. Well, like I would probably be like, well, no, thank you. I guess, and most of the races would do. But it could be interesting. It could be fun. Absolutely nothing against it. If they
I
if
mean,
if you're if Johan Elias decides to do that, then go for it.
I mean,
It's just
Manny Feller aside, it wouldn't make too much difference for the Austrians because they seem to be slap bang in the middle no matter which way round you run
that's
the
very
start. So.
that is the worst place to be in those conditions. But you know, having bib number 617 in the first run, ending up, you know, 12th or 13th, and then going in the slush again, that is literally not one to end up. You're either
No.
gonna suck on the first run and have a good bib on the first one, or you're gonna smash the first one and go last and have a good time.
Bounce through the ruts. I mean, in an ideal world, we wouldn't have these really, really warm conditions and it wouldn't necessarily be an issue. But yeah, interesting points. But anyway, back to the racing. I thought I was so pleased that Haugen picked up that victory, not only because I picked him. Yes.
Mainly.
Just to let you know, if, in case people forgot from last week's pod, I did pick him for the win. And so it was, but I've been really pleased. You know, it's been a real revelation in terms of shooting for podiums and getting podiums this year. Yes, that he's not come out of nowhere over the last couple of seasons, but in terms of, you know, being a race winner or potential race winner. He's been a potential race winner, I think, all season long. And it's nice that he's managed to convert the potential race winner to race winner. And I think the other thing I really enjoyed seeing was the camaraderie about around the teams. And I think that is what a lot of people don't necessarily realize what it's like on tour, because yes, it's an individual sport, but you are surrounded by the same group of not many people, whether it's racers or coaches. And so it is, you know, a nice way to celebrate and sort of round off the season. And I like the emotion that we saw from Stine Olsen, who's had an undoubtedly difficult end to his season, but you could see he was very excited for his teammate to get the job done. I think then you look at social media and you look at the Norwegian, the outpouring on social media from his fellow countrymen, but also from other nations as well, realizing, you know, what an achievement it is.
Yeah, and as well as that, as you've got with the likes of Kristoffersen having a more difficult season, Haugen's kind of been flying that Van Dier flag as well, and kind of keeping them in contention and kind of on TV in some slightly different scenarios. Whereas going into the year, you'd say, oh, you know, Kristoffersen might get four or five podiums to get that up there, and then you might see Haugen there or thereabouts. But to have him win the final race of the season. When there's, you know, all of the cameras there in front of, you know, the Austrian fans, is something that's kind of almost exactly what that brand wanted. Obviously, they want, you know, someone to be winning the Globe, but to win World Cup finals is you know, really good. And it has been coming. He's been able to make those skis work in a variety of conditions in a way that we regularly talk about Kristoffersen struggling to find what it is he wants from any version of those skis, whereas Haugen just kind of got on with it. He might be messing around with the setup in the background, but most races, you know, he might make a mistake that slows him down, but he seems to get the skis working the way he wants them working most races.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, he's
Marcel?
such a great skier. I really love watching him. He's so subtle with his movements. You know, he's has his hips in, does like his things with his legs, with his ankles. I think he's more than well deserved. He's had giant slalom, great races, absolutely smashing it. And he's always been a great racer or there and thereabouts. But this year, he really has shown like there's huge potential in him, and he's still quite young. I mean, I don't think he's like a chicken, but a spring chicken. But you know, he's young enough to still have quite a few good
plenty
years
of years.
in him. And now he's building up slowly. Do you have the total opposite to what Stine Olsen has done, right? So that guy's come up so quickly, and you know, maybe hasn't got that foundation just yet, where he, you know, can really show his best skiing all the time. And I think Timon Haugen certainly has that, where he's able, you know, to be very content in himself, knows exactly what to do, barely makes any mistakes compared to what he's done in the past. So I think he's on a really good level and really good stage. And I mean, he ended up third in a World Cup slalom standings in the end, I
Yeah,
think. So
snap that over Mayar right at the death, didn't he?
that's pretty impressive as well.
Very impressive.
On the standings, I will submit finally to say that Ferreira's had a very consistent season. Still not sure he's the most consistent person on tour, but he's definitely had a consistent season.
Well, actually, Ben, I have to say that he probably is the most consistent person on tour, because he and one other man are the only two athletes to score points in every single round of the World Cup Tour. Can you guess who the other one is?
Six, right? Six was
you already said on commentary the other one is.
Oh, did I? Are you listening? You were listening.
Yeah. I was paying attention.
Marcel wasn't.
I let Marcel guess. He wasn't listening.
I actually muted you. Was it Haugen?
No. You can have two more guesses.
Maybe it was.
Don't I can see? I can see your face as the screen lights up as you just clicked something.
No, I don't. I'm just looking at the result, and I'll tell you who it will be. Mark Rochard?
Nope. One more guess.
It can't be Clemenuel.
It's definitely not him.
That's a free one. It's definitely not Clemenuel, the man that doesn't finish that often. No, it's not him.
Was it Christopher Jakobsen?
No, Dave Riding and Manu Fella are the only two World Cup slalom ski racers that have scored points in every single round. So Benjamin Clark, he is the most consistent man on the tour this season. Even Odermatt and GS has come out of one, hasn't he? So he's not as Odermatt is not as consistent as Manu Fella.
Yeah, exactly.
So Mr. Consistency.
Not even close. In looking back over the results and see just how good a season that was, though, the 715 odd points that he got would have won him the last four titles as well. While we've been talking about how sketchy other people have been, the highest of the last four was Schwartz got in there with 665, and that was in an 11 race season.
Last year was nothing, wasn't it?
Last year was 546. The year before, Kristoffersen won it with 451.
Might
be the lowest points total to win a tour of all time. I did do some digging to see how it was looking. He's still got a way to go to get back to the 2013 Marcel Hirscher that was 960 points from 11 races, and the Schifrin one I mentioned earlier from 2019 that was 1,160 points for the season, where she's won every race apart from one where she came second. But that was a 12-race season as well.
Marcel, I've missed the stat man. The stat man used to pull that sort of stuff out week in, week out.
I just wanted to say the same thing. I really missed it. I think the three of them.
It's because I had enough time earlier to start looking through stuff rather than Ed asking me random questions in the middle of an episode and then expecting me to have an answer for it.
The three people listening to this podcast, they will love it.
Well, your mum, your cousin. Who's the third? Gareth. Sorry, Gareth.
Just scrolls to the end to get to the picks.
He wouldn't have listened to this bit, to be fair. All right, we can tell we've been on for a while. We're going far off topic. The women's giant slalom was a good old race. Federica Brignone proving that she wasn't quite ready to give up the fight for the tour title, and absolutely dominated both runs, to be fair, to take victory. Alice Robinson, great to see her with another second place. Is that her third or her fourth second place so far this season? And Stenersen picking up her first ever World Cup GS podium. Good stuff for her. Went from second to third, so you're under pressure, managed to convert. Steffi Brunner got very close to getting Austria on the podium on the women's side. 1.92 off, the gap was big, but she went from 12th to 4th. Gut Bahrami was skiing for the points, I think it's fairly safe to say. She had 95 points of a lead over Federica, which meant she basically just had to be in the top 15, and it looked like that was her only goal. And But yeah, no, some really good racing. But Brignone's skiing on both runs. I think she lost it on the inside on both runs, showing how hard she was pushing. Good for her, right at the end of the season. Marcel, you want to take this one?
Oh, she absolutely. I
do think that Brignone was skiing incredibly well. It's very nice to see that. Forgot the name.
Which one?
Bruno.
Second.
Robinson.
Ellis, sorry. Totally. Just slipped my brain. She had a lovely season. Really nice to see her back, actually. Solid technique. You know, she's so quick when she stays on her two feet. So she will be certainly, I think she might be going for the Globe next year. I was very surprised that Lara Goot never had a giant
Globe before.
Yeah, I was very surprised. And she said it in the interview, she was very nervous, which understandably, you know, that's a big thing for her. The last one to win, to bring you some stats from my side, for Switzerland was Sonja Neff. I don't know the year, but it was Sonja Neff.
That's a half-baked. That's a half-baked stat, mate. That's half-baked.
You get off my stats corner. You got podiums in a World Cup. I got stats. Get out of here.
It's taking you to episode 21 to bring out some stats for the 2024 season.
I'm sure I threw some out there earlier in the year. The normal mid ones of ones have no basis in fact. They're just thrown out there.
We need you to be unemployed, so you have a lot of time to do all the stats for the podcast.
I'm going to call up his boss and see if I can get him fired. Cyber security.
Let me hack a bit here. I'll
this is cyber security. But yeah, I think I was surprised as well, Marcel, when that dawned on me that was the first GS globe that she's ever got. She
as well, actually, but I just forgot to say she's very. Very well. And Shai, both of them. Unbelievable skiing.
Yeah, some good work from the Austrians, finally, at the end of the season. But yeah, Gut Bahrami and Marco Odermatt, both on course for four globes each, which is pretty impressive when you've only got five globes up for grabs. Ben, what did you make of the GS, matey?
I had that on my list of things to talk about as well, is how annoyed the rest of the skiing world is that of 10 globes, Switzerland's going to take 8 of them, most likely. It's quite ridiculous. One for Austria and one for America is a bit of a, not a sad state of affairs, just shows how brilliant those two have skied this year. Similarly surprised. I think it was Tina Marcel, someone put up a picture of like Lara when she was like, 15 or whatever, and Tina Marze was rocking the World Cup when she won the GS Globe, and kind of put a caption saying that day she said she wanted to win one day, and she's finally done it. But it's an interesting kind of decision because she kind of really committed to speed and didn't really do much in GS for a while, and then the last couple of years has just said, you know what, pretty good at that as well, may as well throw those boards on and start ripping. But she's had a phenomenal season, but I'm not quite sure what happened with Brignone this year. She had a couple races where she just went off the boil and wasn't competing the way we know she can, and races like this show exactly what she's really capable of. But there's a few people that you think this race...
Sorry, Ben, she put that down to pushing too much. She put that down to over-trying.
Which sounds about right because she's never short of any energy and effort to win in those races. But you think of if Lara Goot's coming back next year, if hopefully Vlahova recovers from her injuries and Schifrin's back to her best, then you've got, you know, Brignone and Robinson, the likes of Julia Shoaib, if she can stay healthy, all competing for that GS Globe. We could have a really, really kind of, you know, wide open GS Women's Tour next year. That'd be really exciting to see happen.
It's certainly hotting up, isn't it? This play, and that's what I think we were alluding to earlier on, wasn't it? We talk about all these new names and stuff, and actually we're starting to not only see the new names that have been appearing over the last couple of years are now starting to gather some momentum and actually find the consistency, which for most doesn't happen overnight. you know, there's a couple of anomalies to that statement, but most take time to build that sort of, like you said earlier, Marcel, that base or the I can't remember the words you use.
Foundations.
I was going to say your English is better than mine. foundations to that sort of result, that sort of consistent level of results. So yeah, good for them. Good work for those. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, when we get back to really solid conditions. I mean, that's where you can't hide, and the best really do kick on, I think, as well. So it'll be interesting to see if how that plays out, hopefully with a little bit of a colder winter maybe next season.
They say that top four would still be pretty close, though. Brignone, Robinson, Blahova, Schifrin, and you probably throw Hector in there as well if she's...
Yeah, Hector needs it icy, don't she?
Her best, yeah. And then, you know, I don't know quite what Scheib's like on the icy stuff, but Brunner certainly is normally a bit better when it's solid, isn't she, Marcel? So there's you know, it could be wide open, although we think that lot going into lots of seasons and then someone turns up and just dominates. So it'd be, yeah, great to see. But yeah, I think in all conditions, it'll be quite a fascinating tour next year.
Anything to add on the women's giant slalom?
I mean, massive efforts again from Colciuri. I know Marcel talked about it more in the slalom where it went a bit wrong, but you know, finishing up 11th, pretty solid both runs. We've said she's going to be an exciting racer to watch for a long time, quite a lot this season. So if she can keep going the way she is at the moment,
oh, she's poised to win next year.
You reckon debut win next year?
No, next year, I think she's going to get a podium next year. She's really tiny still. She's 17. I think, you know, if you look at the likes of Robinson, she won her first race and she was 17 or 18. And I think she was more developed in her body. So if, you know, Colciuri has another summer to develop with Red Bull, I mean, they will be probably, you know, working hard with her. I think she's definitely one that could get onto the podium in both disciplines.
I'm looking forward to seeing some consistency from her, yeah, because she is an incredible talent. And you think Scheib's going to get a podium next year? I mean, Colciuri.
I actually think she will do, and she's going to get all the support from Red Bull. You know, they have a proper training center. Like, I think she can still, you know, body. Like, I think there's still a lot to, you know, to advance in her fitness levels. And I don't want to put something in anyone's mouth, but I think she's 17, so there's still a lot of room for progression. And I actually looked at her very closely on the giant slalom, and I think she does everything right, bar what she does after the gates when it gets more difficult. She hooks it a bit too much, and she doesn't release the skis as the others do. If she'd be doing that, she would be already on the podium. I think that's a confidence thing, because if you look at her, I looked at her second run actually today, because I was just curious. So the first couple of gates out of the start gate, third gate was not that great because it's like that little bit into the flat. But the rest, when it's flat, she's like, she just releases the skis, and she has such a lovely technique, you know, like very, very, very solid, and actually quite beautiful to see her ski. But when it gets a bit rougher, or a bit steeper and a bit more over the rollers, she's holding back, and if she stops doing that, she will be flying. And I don't think that will. She looks a bit like Lara Good, to be fair.
I think that's a big call for next season. The interesting.
Do you know if she trains in the group with anyone? Because this is something we talked about before with some of the young Italians in that squad. So yes, it meant she might not have raced World Cup as quickly as she has done.
Yeah.
But you think of who are in those training groups right now that she could be learning from the likes of Brignone and Bassino,
but then
alongside the others,
she would have never been at this stage now if she wouldn't have gone to ski for Albania, and now she's at a stage where, you know, she can train literally even with the Italians. Will happily have her for trainings. She'll pay her own way, obviously, but you know, when you get to a level like she is, and like many others who have like their own private team, you know, whether they want to train with someone else is a different topic. But I think when you reach a certain level, people will want to train with you because you are a good benchmark for them. it's not the other way around. So I think, you know, they, I think they have done it. They have done it right. And now she's at a stage where she can probably get training with all of them, whatever, she, whoever she wants.
Because they'll want to learn from her, because they'll want to look at her.
Not necessarily, not learn from her, probably not, but you know, they want to have her as a benchmark because she is quick, and I'm sure she's probably even quicker in training. You know, I think that's always good to have someone like that, and especially she's younger, like older people, you know, the older guys and ladies, you know, they're probably holding back in training a bit. They're like, well, today I can't really be fucked. I'm not going to go, you know, full speed on every run, and or do a bit more testing, or yeah, note it down when I'm swearing, please, so I can cut it out. But you know what I mean? Like, I think the younger athletes, they are going really hard in training, most of them at least. And it's a good benchmark for everyone.
Good ideas. Good ideas. Anything else to add before we talk about this last set of races and the all-important picks? No. Well, we have the last races, and it is Friday. We are racing both men's and women's Super Gs, like we did this weekend with the women, I think, are running first at the moment, and then the men are afterwards. And then Saturday, it is the women's downhill, and then Sunday is the men's downhill. So we will start off with the Super G picks, please, gentlemen. Ben, would you like to pick first on women's Super G, which the title is... just about, I mean, it's mathematically possible, but Goop Bahrami has a 40-69 point lead.
First things first, are we going to get these races off? Like, I know Marcel has the utmost faith in all Austrian mountains for putting on ski races, but bearing in mind some of the races they've cancelled this year for the conditions and what it was like a few weeks ago when they were moving the finish area or finish line and those kind of things because the rest of the piece and the finish area was too soft. If it's anything like it was this weekend, there's only so much salt you can put on a mountain, and in speed events, obviously,
well, Austria are going to find out how much salt you can put down. So,
but also the actual path that people are taking is much more varied, so you can't just, you know, slalom and GS is a lot easier to sort of track because the path is pretty well established and you can work out where everyone's going to go. Whereas speed disciplines, I don't know, just some, watching this weekend just made me think they're going to have to go some to get a piece solid enough for both races on the same day.
And it looks warm.
Yeah, and also, yeah, if it doesn't get colder, we're in trouble. Was the other thought, unless they do what they used to do at the British Champs and just have people inspecting in the dark at like 5 a.m. or whenever we used to have to do it.
Yeah,
five in the morning and you were starting at 11 a.m.
Oh snap! Still throwing it.
I'd gone down by 11, Marcel.
it's going to be warm, isn't it?
It's going to be. I mean, frankly, I'm sorry for all the listeners, but it's going to be pretty crap. I just look at the weather forecast and it looks pretty shit. But it looks better on Friday. Friday seems to be a good day, actually. And the rest of the week is really raining. I'm actually not sure. Maybe they want to have some rain, you know, bit like making the snow wetter than it already was for the salt to work better. I don't know. Maybe that's the tactics. I don't think we'll get all the races on the way. But my pick's going to be Esther Tedesco for the Super G.
Straight to it. Ben?
I'm going to go with Brignone.
I am going to go with Hooter. And on the men's side, which is similar in terms of... the title is still roughly up for grabs, but not really. Kriegmeier trails Odomat by 81 points, I think, if I can add up. And so, yeah, it's nearly done and dusted, but not quite. And I'm going to go first, and I am going to say Raphael Hasse for the win.
I'm going to go Odomat. He's going to be really mad.
He's going to be really angry.
I go for Franjo van Almen.
Bosch.
Who?
Van Almen. The Swiss.
Wow.
The Swiss. He's got a podium now.
I get Ben thinking. He's like, oh, what does he know? What does he know then? He's very good.
I'm just trying to find him on the standings list.
He's very good on salted snow, mate. I've heard fantastic things.
Fantastic things. Be afraid. Your 2 point lead in the podcasters podcast predictions league is in jeopardy.
That's a goner already. So,
okay. In the women's downhill, Goop Bahrami leads the way. I mean, only by 19 points in front of Godja, who's obviously not racing, and 68 points in front of Stephanie Vanier, who still has a chance. But an outside chance, obviously. And so on the downhill Saturday, I think I'm going to go the Hooter double.
Why are you going first?
Because I make the rules. What do you want to go for?
No, I let Ben go next.
Ooh.
Brignone's never won a downhill. She got quite close, hasn't she?
I made him think.
Yeah, no, it's in my head. I'm going to go... This is going to be a ridiculous one. I'm going to go Raganhild Mo Winkle for the last ever race win.
No, she's going to be doing that in...
I wanted to pick her.
Oh, can I have a backup in case she's doing it in fancy dress?
She's definitely going to be doing it in fancy dress.
Oh, maybe
nothing to play for. She'll be doing it, in fact, surely.
You can get Raposo. It's a backup pick.
In that case, I'll go Goop Bahrami and go super safe.
No, you already said it. I'm going to go for Goop Bahrami.
Marcel, you could pick Goop Bahrami as well if you want, but that doesn't catch you up those points that you're going to be losing out on to.
That is very true, actually. I go for... Maybe Connie Hooter. She would have trained there lots of times, so that's good.
Yeah, you go the same pick as me, mate. You'll be fine.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Sorry. Bring you on it.
Okay, and then last up is the men's downhill. And Odomat leads the way by 42 points over Cyprian Sarrazin. And Dominic Paris in third, but far too far off. Do we know is Sarrazin racing?
Not heard anything. It's been very hush hush.
So I don't know if he's racing or not. I think that's tough. That's tough, that one. Marcel, have you gone first yet, mate? Do you want to go first? I thought you were going to throw your toys out the pram.
Audemars.
You're going to go for Audemars. Mr. Ben?
I'm not going to pick Sarrazin if we don't even know if he's going to be there. So I'll go with Kriegmeier.
Yeah, that's quite good. I think I was going to go there. Hinterman or Paris? Paris, please.
I tell you what, if Mo Winkle wins that Super G now or the downhill, even I'll be so mad at you then.
I can't be so mad. Yeah, well, tough. All right, well, gentlemen, our last picks of this year, of season six.
Goodbye for now.
You are.